morning. Welcome to Catalyst. I'm glad you're here. Thanks, Kyle, for that. You know, when I was growing up, It's on here. You want me to use a handheld? Hello. Welcome to Catalyst. Glad you're here. When I was growing up, when I was a kid, I didn't really like taking a bath or a shower, right? It was more of something I had to do, not something I really wanted to do. But, you know, one summer, my cousins asked me to help out at his grandparents' place, and They used to have a large farm, but then at that time it was just a small farm, very small, and they had a small grape vineyard in their backyard. So they asked if I could help, and they said they would pay me a little bit of money. So I said, all right, I'll help. And so we went out there, and I remember when we went to their farm in their backyard, the grapevines, they were all dusted with this white stuff, white powder. And I learned it was a sulfur. And so they kind of dust the vines with sulfur to keep the mildew and fungus from growing. And what we had to do, our job, was we had to go and pick what they call suckers. They're just the new little branches that are growing out, tiny little branches, because they didn't want those to take away the nutrients from the grape plants. They wanted all the nutrients to go to the grapes. So we would go plant by plant and pull off all these suckers. And it was Sacramento, summertime. It was hot. And I remember we worked all day in pulling these suckers. And by the end of the day, I was filthy. I was so dirty. I had that sulfur all over me. I was sweaty. I was smelly. And you know what? When I got home, you know what I wanted to do? Take a shower. I couldn't wait. I think that was probably the dirtiest I've ever been. I couldn't wait to get into that shower. And when I took a shower, it just felt so good. It just felt the water and just being cleansed and cleaned by that shower. You know, I never really fully appreciated taking a shower or a bath until I had gotten and I saw how dirty I was and I felt. Because when I felt super dirty, the contrast between being dirty and then being cleansed and clean was so great. That shower felt amazing. You know, today we are officially finishing this series we've been going through. And it's based on this book by John Bevere called The Awe of God. Some of you turned in commitment cards to read through this book. If you're on chapter one, you're in trouble. Okay, you better hurry it up, finish this book. I know some of the small groups, you're only meeting every other week, so you're a little behind. But this book has been life-transforming and changing for myself, many people here. Just in hearing. And I know it's not been easy. It's been hard. It's been a struggle because this is meat. You have to chew it before you could swallow it. You have to wrestle with it. You have to try to figure out how does the fear of the Lord is what he talks about a lot. How is the fear of the Lord? How do we reconcile that with the love of God, the kindness of God, the graciousness of God? So it's been challenging, but we are coming to the end today, even though I think the Lord wants us to continue in some capacity, to continue to revisit. I know Pastor Robert O is speaking next Sunday, woo! And he said the Lord's been putting in on his heart some themes. Oh, I forgot to mention too, we have a Catalyst Korea person in the house. And it's Pastor Peter Ha, and he's visiting back there. Thanks, Pastor Peter. So say hi. amazing test. We got to meet with Pastor, amazing testimonies. But we've been going through this book, and really, this book is causing us, it's the awe of God, but he talks a lot about the fear of God. But what it's doing, it's causing us to recognize and acknowledge who God is in all his holiness, his glory, his majesty. And in our eyes, it's lifting God up higher to the place he should have. The place he should have. And it's helping us to see God and to respond to God with reverence, with greater awe, and greater obedience. And just like the story I shared about being dirty and taking a shower, it's that contrast. It's that contrast. By cultivating this awe of God, this fear of the Lord, by recognizing God's glory, his holiness, his power, and his majesty, it actually sets us up to experience the love and the grace and the kindness of God in a deeper, more profound way. And we begin to appreciate, even in a greater way, the benefits we have of the incredible love and mercy of the Lord. Look at this verse here, Psalm 31:19. How great is the goodness you have stored up for who? For those who fear you. How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. Those who fear the Lord will experience the lavish goodness of God. And this last chapter of this book, The Awe of God, John Bevere focuses on the benefits of the fear of the Lord. And so we're going to kind of quickly review some of the benefits that John Bevere talks about. First, it's the fear that eliminates fears. Okay? The fear of God, the fear of the Lord, is a fear that eliminates all other fears. Isaiah 8:11-14. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. He said, don't call everything a conspiracy. It's like today. Don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. And don't live in dread of what frightens them. This is a word for today. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe. And so this passage says, don't fear the things of the world. Fear, honor, tremble before the Lord. Because he's the only one that could keep us safe. And if you fear the Lord, it will eliminate all other fears. The one who has a healthy fear of the Lord is the one who properly recognizes the awesome power and holy character of God. And this holy fear of the Lord will eliminate all other fears because you know you will be safe, eternally safe with him. Now, when you think of God, when I say picture God, or what do you feel when you think of God? I think some of us picture God kind of like this. God's just gentle, kindly, loving, kind of grandpa, right? The kindness of the Lord, the gentleness of the Lord. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble of heart. And so when we think of God, part of us kind of thinks of him like this. He's like an old, gentle grandpa. But there's another side of God that's kind of like this. And a lot of times, we don't want to think about this God. We don't want to kind of know this God. Look at these two pictures. Both of these can represent, give us just a human, a very inadequate but human picture. There's two different, many aspects of God. How about this picture? Talking about The Chosen, right? I've been watching I love The Chosen series, and then this act, Jonathan Rumi, you just love him, right? He portrays, I think, Jesus so well. But it's Jesus as the suffering servant. There's another picture of Jesus in the Bible, right here. Ooh. This is the picture of Jesus from Revelation. He's not going to be the suffering servant. He's going to be the king that comes to reign and rule. And so look at these two pictures. Both of them represent Jesus, the Lord. And I believe, and what this book, I think, is trying to point us to, you can't fully appreciate the love and grace and gentleness of the Jesus on the left until we understand and know the Jesus on the right. Because he's God, almighty, holy, just, strong, powerful. And it's both of them together. Now let me ask you, which Jesus would you want to go to for a hug? Right? I think most would say, oh, the one on the left, right? Yeah. If I want a hug, if I need comfort, I'll go to that Jesus. If I want some love, I want the words of affirmation, I'll go to that Jesus. But what if you needed someone to protect you? Someone fierce. Someone that will stand up for you. Someone just. That's the Jesus on the right. Because he's strong. He's powerful. Nothing, no one can stop him. His will be done. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. That's the Jesus that gives us security. We need both. There was a quote from the book. It says, it's from Richard Halverson. He was a chaplain to the Senate for many years. Men who fear God face life fearlessly. Men who do not fear God end up fearing everything. Everything. And so, first benefit of the fear of the Lord, it eliminates all other fears. Second one is legacy. Legacy. It gives us a legacy. Psalm 112, 1 through 2. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Look at this. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. Those who fear the Lord, the Bible says, your children and your generations, not just your children, your children's children, your following generations will be blessed. Those who fear the Lord will have a spiritual legacy of their generations. Number three, the most important thing. John Bevere talks about the benefit is this most important thing. Psalms 111 Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. What this is saying, the benefit of fear of the Lord is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Any wisdom that is available, that is from the Lord, any wisdom begins with fear of the Lord. That means any understanding of God, any ability to know God, The starting point of having a relationship with God begins not with the love of God, but with the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. That has some heavy implications. I'm going to share about this in a future message in a couple weeks, about the fact that for those that don't know the Lord, your friends, your families, your coworkers, your classmates that don't know the Lord, for them to come to the Lord, it starts with them seeing the Lord and developing a fear of the Lord. And that brings in the issues like judgment, sin, hell, things like that. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's in that context that you can have an urgency and appreciation of the love and grace of God. And so it's a starting point. This is a quote from the book by John Bevere. I thought it was very powerful. If the widely accepted counterfeit grace continues to eliminate holy fear from believers' hearts, multitudes of professing Christians will be swept away by lawlessness's deception. That's a promise, that's a prophecy, that's a word in the Bible, that in the last days, there will be great apostasy and many will fall away. So it's the fear of the Lord that keeps us from falling away when things get hard, when persecution comes. Most important thing. Four, fear of the Lord, the people that have fear of the Lord, it's successful living. Proverbs 22:4. True humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long life. How many of you want riches, honor, and long life? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Now, we need to keep in mind, one thing we need to keep in mind with this passage, it's from the book of Proverbs. So it's part of wisdom literature. So when it comes from wisdom literature, it's not a promise of the Lord. It doesn't mean if you fear the Lord, you're going to be a billionaire. You're going to have riches beyond belief. You're going to have honor. But it's wisdom, which means it gives us an idea of how to walk in alignment with God, his principles, his will, his ways. And generally, people who walk in alignment with God on earth will experience these things. More often than not, you will experience these things. So it's not a promise, but it's very, very good, wise advice. And so he says, those who fear the Lord, riches, honor, long life, success here on earth. And then finally, final blessing of benefit of those who fear the Lord, finishing well. Proverbs 10:27. Again, another proverb, so wisdom. Fear the Lord lengthens one's life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. So those are five promises or five benefits John Bevere talks about when he talks about the fear of the Lord. Now, he also lists a bunch of others. There's many other additional benefits. I'm just going to read them off. Joyful and prosperous. Your spouse and kids will flourish. Confident and fearless to face the future. Angelic guards. Desires fulfilled. Faithful friends. Bodily health. Identity from God. Direction and guidance. If there was a new medication or a new program out there that offered all these benefits that I've named, that thing would go viral and it would become a multi-million dollar thing. The Word of God, the Word of the Lord says these benefits belong to those who have a fear of the Lord. A fear of the Lord. But as we look out in society, we look out among the secular community, we don't see people experiencing these things that much. Why? Lack of fear of the Lord. There is a great lack of a fear, lack of revering, lack of honoring, lack of obeying the Lord's will and ways. You know what? These are all great benefits. They're all amazing benefits. But personally for me, I think there is one greatest benefit to the fear of the Lord. It's that the fear of the Lord, as I mentioned before, leads us to experience the love of the Lord and salvation from sin. That's the greatest benefit to the fear of the Lord. It leads to us having a greater experience of the love of the Lord and salvation from sin. You know, John Bevere mentions many Bible verses that say, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Like I mentioned, the fear of the Lord raises our view of God to his proper place and puts everything else in proper perspective. When we have a fear of the Lord, when God is raised up to who he truly is in our minds, in our attitudes, in our response, in our behaviors, when God is lifted up, everything else in life is set in its proper perspective. God is lifted up. His holiness is magnified. His awesome power is clear. What happens is our sin, our disobedience, our shortcoming, our irreverence gets exposed. It gets exposed. Our sin becomes exposed. You know, because secular society does not have a fear of the Lord, there is a tremendous lack of understanding to the gravity of sin. The danger, the eternal danger, the cost of sin because of a lack of a fear of the Lord. You know, as God is acknowledged as holy King of Kings, we see and we begin to understand that every one of our sins is an offense. It's an affront. It's a disrespect to the Lord on high, our Creator, our King. And it's basically rebellion and treason. You know, many years ago, I'm going to take a drink before I state this. Many years ago, I believe the Lord gave me a vision to help me realize the costliness of my own sin. So in this vision, I could see myself, and I was just going about my day, living my life, you know, doing things, you know, whatever I was doing, and just living out my day after day. And I could see myself just there. But behind me, which I was totally unaware of in this vision, behind me, there was a figure. And it was this enormous, humongous man dressed in all black and had a hood and a mask over his head. And in one hand, he had a mallet, and in the other hand, he had a huge spike. And I was totally oblivious to that man behind me. And I would go about my day doing my normal things, and I would see I would do something that was disobedient to the Lord. I would sin, you know, I would gossip, I would lie, I would lust or something. I would sin. And then I would just keep going on with my day. But behind me, when I sinned, this masked mammoth of a man would turn and look down. And when he turned and looked down, I could see there was someone lying on the ground in the vision. I could see behind me. I wasn't aware in the vision, but I could see in the vision. Someone was lying on the ground. And I realized it was Jesus lying on the cross. And when I would sin, that masked man would look down at Jesus. And he would yell at Jesus, "Jesus, you remember Barry is doing this to you. He's the one that's doing this to you." And he would take that mallet, and he would take that spike, and he would slam it into Jesus. And he said, "Don't you forget, Jesus. Barry did that to you." And I was oblivious, just going on throughout my day. And then I would sin again. And every time I did, he would look at Jesus and say, "Barry's doing this to you." And he would hit him again. And again, and again, and again. Because every one of my sins, every single one, Jesus felt. Because he took upon himself. Well, in the vision, one of those times where I sinned, and that happened. In the vision, I see myself all of a sudden kind of notice and turn around. And as I turned around, I realize what's happening. I fall on my knees and I start sobbing. And then I can see Jesus lifted up on the cross. And he looks at me, eye to eye, and he says, "I'm doing this for you, to take away your sin, because I love you." And he dies. And I'm beside myself. Then the next scene, as I'm there broken, Jesus walks over to me and he picks me up and he embraces me and he says, "I did that for you. Come follow me because I love you." God's been showing us and shows us his holiness. As God calls us to have a fear of the Lord, we recognize our sin, our shame, our disobedience. But then Jesus comes with his love, his grace, his mercy, and he picks us up and he lifts us up to the highest place. And we understand get a little taste of how great the love and kindness and mercy of our holy, awesome God is. And the truth from Luke 7 hits our hearts. He who is forgiven little loves little. He who is forgiven little loves little. But he who is forgiven much loves much. That all starts with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And God wants us to understand who he is so we will understand and receive the infinite, eternal, unconditional love of the Lord. You know, today I just thought, as we've been going through this Awe of God series and this Fear of the Lord series, it's been a powerful series, and I believe the Lord's going to have us continue in different ways. But for today, I felt like the Lord wanted us to take communion. You know what communion is? Communion is recognizing who God is. And it's recognizing what Jesus has done for us. And it's kind of like that shower. When I felt so dirty and dusty, and I recognized all the filth, and then I appreciated just to shower all the more, the cleansing, the washing. And that's what Jesus' blood does. Gives us a taste of the love of God, that Jesus carried every one of our sins. And so I'm gonna have the worship team come on up. And communion was introduced by Jesus to his disciples to remember what God has done for us through Jesus, his coming, his dying, his death, and his resurrection for us, for our sins, to set us free. And if you're a believer, I invite you to come up. The way we take going to take communion is just as you feel ready. You don't have to all rush up. There's going to be 4 or 5 songs, so plenty of time. As you feel ready, you could come up and take communion, grab a cup, and you could take it back to your seat. You could come kneel in the front if you want, whatever you want to do. You could go take it with someone else. But if you're a believer, if you've already received Jesus, put your faith in him, committed to following him, then you're invited to take communion. If you've never received Christ, if you're not a believer, you've never received Christ, this won't have the meaning for you, because it's remembering what Jesus has done for us. And so if you haven't received Christ, what I want to encourage you to do is receive Christ today. Receive his salvation. Acknowledge God is God. He's a holy God. And that you need a Savior. And all you have to do to do that is just come up to talk to me or Pastor Ross right there. Over there, wave your hand, Pastor Ross, over there. Or just come on up, and we'd happy to pray with you and help you to receive Jesus today. And then you could go take communion for your first time, all right? And so, yeah, just, again, when all of you, everyone invited to come, take communion, and in a way you feel led by the Lord, okay? All right, so let's bow forward to prayer and ask the Lord bless our time. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy for our church and our church family to bring the truths of the fear of the Lord to us, of helping us to see you for who you are, helping us to respond and treat and think and obey you, Lord, in a way that's befitting to the only true God. And Lord, thank you for doing this, that we might, in a deeper way, experience and understand how great a love you have for us. How great an act it was for Jesus, you to come and sacrifice yourself for us. How unimaginable it was for you to take upon every single one of our sins, that we might be set free, that we might be called sons and daughters of the King of Kings, that we might know you and have relationship with you and know that we have life eternal with you. So thank you, Lord, as each one comes to take communion, I pray you would meet them with your touch, with your love, with your goodness, God, as we approach and come before you with a holy, healthy fear of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're all welcome to take communion as you feel led.